Akeem Tlaib here. Thank you for pulling up to the No Fly Zone reunion. We got more dope content like that coming all off season. So subscribe, rate, and review. Now check out the No Fly Zone 5-year reunion.
We had TJ. TJ was the energy, I feel like.
Bud was our energy, bro, from practice to the meeting rooms to the locker room.
He was our enforcer.
To the club at night, to Vine Crib.
He brought that juice.
Our guy, Darren Stewart, that calms everybody down, makes sure everybody's level-headed.
Ending dudes, I used to get so hyped seeing Stu come down and smack guys.
My hitter brother, come across the middle, you know what's happening.
He was a true free safety, bro. A last line defense. Deep balls or slants, anybody catch and run. We knew Stu was going to knock him out.
Bradley Roby being able to play all over the field, whatever role that coach asked of him to do.
I call him my son.
In the clutch, third down playmaker.
He came in and strapped everything.
Don't even know how talented he is, but he really probably was the most talented one out of all of us.
Chris Harris, Strap Harris.
Chris knew everything. He knew what these looks was doing.
Calling out plays before they even came.
He could play PlayStation and watch film at the same time.
Gonna talk trash, everything.
Chris was like our standard as far as mental preparation.
And Key to leave the mouth from the south, man.
Take away your number one receivers and also be able to score.
On that left side, strapping your best number one. Let's get it.
I think to be great, you gotta have a great expectation. I think that's what Lee brought.
Called to the booth. We got a super special edition because my brother's on the show with me. The original No Fly Zone, the one and only No Fly Zone, man. Chris Harris Jr., Bradley Roby, TJ Ward, Darian Stewart, baby. And of course, yours truly. You know what I'm saying? Special edition today, man. My dogs. What's up with y'all boys?
My boy.
Yo. What's good?
Y'all still ugly. Everybody still ugly. You know what I'm saying? I see ain't nothing changed.
Hey, what's up, Madden? My boy John Madden.
Hey, y'all see me doing my numbers, though. You feel me?
Hey, that's what's up. Hey, that's what's up, bro. That's what's up.
Hey, real. And low-key, look, you say Madden. When I be doing that shit, bud, I be like, all right. I gotta be like Madden. Yeah. I gotta be like nobody else doing this shit. It gotta be like Madden only. You feel me?
They don't even know. Like, they half of these fools ain't even heard Madden. They don't even know Madden on the mic. Nah.
They don't have no idea what he do. Well, shit. What's up with y'all boys, though, man? You know what I'm saying? Y'all, with two of y'all still playing, we know what's up with Rose.
I need a loan. Somebody send me a loan.
he lost another 10 yesterday on them old state boys.
Hey, man. Yeah. It was ugly for us.
Rode took a little nice little hit, man. It's, you know, happened to the best of us. We all done cast out 10, 12,000 on a couple bets. It's cool though. You feel me? It's cool. You gonna live. You know what I'm saying? You the only one. You and Chris, y'all still getting M's and shit. So you know.
You about to get M's, boy. You about to get 18 million a year.
I'm broke, baby.
I'm trying to get that Tony Romo. That Romo money.
Nah, they ain't gonna give me that Romo. You feel me? But, you know, I'll settle for 7-8 M's. You feel me? Give me 7-8 of them, man.
Right now.
Right now. You feel me? What's up with y'all, boys? Stu, Bub, man. What y'all got going, man? How y'all day be going right now?
Yeah, Stu. Bored as hell.
I ain't golfing, so I'm taking little mama to school.
Yeah,
parlay, and I'm on the game, man. I became a real gamer now.
Yeah. Get on that PS5, man.
I'm on the new Xbox, man. So I got every game.
Oh, you got the new boy?
Yeah. My boy, he got him on tape. If you need it, I got you.
Yeah, slide me one. I need one. Got you,
man.
Yeah. Shit, I might got an extra one for real.
Yeah, I ain't doing nothing, man. I'm just chilling.
Full daddy mode, huh?
Full daddy mode. I got some hopefully lined back up in at SC. So I'm gonna go back down there and start probably take on the professional development role with them.
Oh yeah. That's what's up. That'll keep you around the game and at the same time put some paper in your pocket, you know.
Absolutely.
That's all we're trying to do. What's up with you, Bud, man? What you got going, man?
You know, that little boy.
Look, Dre's dropping this shit, man. See some grays in that motherfucker?
Just a little bit. Now, you know, I've been taking care of this boy, man. He's 5 months today. So I've been busy with him
Damn, 5 months go by quick.
Woo! Man, quick. Boy, big too. I might got me these lines.
Hey, that boy got to rush in.
Big back.
Big lineman. Linebacker. Back. Yeah.
Hey, we're trying to golf and stuff, getting game, but you can't do it out here because of the snow right now.
Right.
And I got some other things planned. I'm planning a release coming soon, so stay tuned.
Oh, yeah. That's
you know, I'm going to let you be the first to drop it, first outlet, Lee. Got you.
So, yeah. Easy yeah. work.
That's about it, though.
We young, how the LA treating you, young?
LA was straight, man. It was, you know, really every day. You know how it was with the Rams, bro. It's 90, 85 almost every day.
75 and sunny.
Yeah, nice every day, but sure. You see, we just fired our coach, so now it's trying to see who we're going to get next, you know, trying to see who. Gus Bradley.
Who y'all going to match with Herbert? Raiders. Huh?
Yeah, we got to find. I mean, Herbert's so nice.
Y'all need one of them offensive coordinator type coaches to, so y'all don't got to worry about the coordinator leaving every year. You know how that shit goes.
Yeah. The OC was fire, though. You know what I mean?
This is
the same OC from when Rivers and them was going crazy, too. So he is cold with it. So I can see them bringing him back, though, for sure. But you never know what's going to happen, though, man. You know how it is. I done went through this. I done had about 6 different head coaches.
Man, look, tell me about it. Tell me about it, bro. I had, 3 in Tampa, 3 in Denver, 1 in New England, 1 in the Rams. I had 8 head coaches in 12 years.
8 head coaches.
Stop playing.
Yeah, I had 5.
Dude, I had 3 in Cleveland, 3 in Denver.
Look.
1 in Tampa.
I'm telling you.
It's real.
Real spill.
8 years.
That's real spill. That's just the name of the game. Ro, well, how that H-Town treating you, my boy?
Man, y'all already know how H-Town treats you. Man, H-Town is a movie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. For real, yeah, it is. Man. I'm having fun, you know. Season was just bad this year. You know, we fired our coach 4 games in, and it kind of was like, you know, everyone's questioning the hot move, and I questioned the hot move too, but you know, I kind of saw this. Sean still led the league in passing, so you know, it just the defense wasn't there, and I tried to do what I could, but you know, just a lot of things going on. It's we've all been in those situations where you're on a losing team, and you know, the building is just tight, and everybody blaming everybody else, and it was just a whole lot of that, man. Then you know, then I had my little situation, so. Then I sat down the rest of the year. So, you know, that was what it was. So, you know, I'm just bounced back. But the city, though, man, I love it. I love it. It's way better than Denver, man. Like, Denver, just getting drafted to Denver, it was cool. You know, I liked it. I enjoyed it. You know, but, you know, I'm from Atlanta. So, Houston's more my vibe for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You can already see that. Just, I always tell people about that Denver nightlife, boy.
No nightlife.
That shit was not there, boy. Our nightlife was Von Crib. I'm like, yeah.
That was it.
We created our own nightlife. You know what I'm saying? Right. It was at Von Crib.
Yeah.
Club 5-8.
Straight up.
Definitely want to get to all the celebrations that happened at Von's Crib. Thanks again for joining us, guys. Akib and I have been doing this show since the beginning of the football season. And one of our guests, Terrell Davis, actually suggested that we get you guys together and celebrate a moment like this. Obviously, if we were in a normal world, we'd love to do this in person, but happy you guys can join us to get together to celebrate what you guys were able to accomplish on the field. Super Bowl 50 champions, no fly zone, led teams that even average over 200 passing yards against you guys. You guys were spectacular. We have to commemorate you guys for what you did. TJ, if you could answer this question for us, and then you guys, I'll let you guys follow up. TJ, so when exactly did the no-fly zone name get created? Was there a game? Was there a practice? When exactly? Do you remember?
I think it was throughout camp and early in the season. You know, we was breaking up passes and doing this. And it was actually the year before Stu got there.
Right.
We had Raheem. And, you know, Chris, you know, he yelling, no-fly zone, no-fly zone. Because, I mean, it's popular with DBs, you know. People been saying it, but when Chris was hollering it and we, you know, with our play, the moniker stood. So it was evident that we was literally no fly in the NFL because we was number one in passing.
I think it was 2014, was it? 2014, yeah, right before Stu got in. And then once Stu got in there, everybody, then we just kind of just took it as a staple from there, from 2015.
So Stu, so if we want to focus on the 2015 season, you're the one who came in, coming in from the Baltimore Ravens. So a lot of changes happened for the Broncos. They went from John Fox to Gary Kubiak, coming off that 2014 divisional series loss, divisional game loss to the Colts. What was your view of the Broncos, particularly the secondary, before you got there? And what did you think you could bring? And then if you guys can follow up to what Darian brought after he gives his initial answer.
Well, I felt like, you know, the group itself, you know, they had talent across the board. Once they got rid of Raheem, you know, Denver wasn't even on my radar when I hit free agency. You know, I was at Baltimore with Coach Kubiak. So after my meeting, my agent called me and told me that Kubiak said keep an eye out for Denver. But I obviously knew what they were doing throughout the year or whatever. So when I had the opportunity, I jumped at it. You know, we set up the meeting and, you know, the rest was history. But, you know, once I signed, I met with Joe Woods. You know, he's probably the best coach I never had. You know, he slowed the game down for us. And with the group we had, you know, I knew that we could get it done. And it, from OTAs on, we was clicking, you know, and it was just a bunch of football players, just hungry guys. And, you know, we got it working, and the rest was history.
I ain't gonna lie. I ain't really know Stu, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm doing my own shit. I got enough shit going on off the field, on the field, all that shit, right? So when I was a player, I'm way less a fan of the game than I am right now. Now I know everybody because I'm a fan. Right. You know what I'm saying? Before I was in the NFL, I was a fan. I knew everybody. So I ain't know too much about Stu, right? But my brother now, he is, I swear, nobody don't know more shit than him, right? When it comes to football shit. He like, boom, hit my line. Bruh, y'all got Darren Stewart. I'm like, who that? Bruh. The opposite of Raheem, bro. He gonna smack something. He knew exactly who he was. Like, he knew exactly who he was. And nothing against Raheem. That's my dog. Raheem get picks. Stu get picks and he flock shit. You know what I'm saying? So it was just where we was trying to be as a defense. We wanted to be, you know, physical. You know what I'm saying? Chris tackle, I tackle, our corners tackle. And that's the first part of being physical. Do your corners tackle. Our corners tackle. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Our safeties got to do more than tackle. They got to hit. You feel me? We had one who hit. We had one who tackled. But we brought in one who got picks, and he hit. That's what my brother was like, bro. He hit. He wanted him. He liked Bub. He's like, y'all got two TJs back there, bro. He hit. So that's the first news that I got. I'm like, all right, bet. So then, you know, OTAs come, and you don't really see none of OTAs. Training camp come, then you start seeing it. Like, oh, yeah, that's him. You know what I'm saying? So that's my little story of Stu coming. I had no idea who he was. My bro told me he was going to be live and told me what he was going to do. When the season started, that's exactly what Stu did, bro. He hit. Man, it got to the point where we could almost play outside a little bit. Run that slant. You're going to get fucked.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he take great angles. He got great anticipation. He read quarterback good, man. He hitting slants out the post. You know what I'm saying? So we needed him, man. It was needed. In order to be the best D in the league, man, it's going to start with your physical play. And Stu definitely cranked up as a team. He cranked up our physical play.
Chris, when you guys first started, those first five games, you guys were on point as the secondary. You started the season 7-0. But I'm looking at the first five games of the season. Aqib had a 51-yard touchdown return. Darian had a game-saving end zone interception. Go to week two. Roby had a scoop off of a Jamal Charles fumble that's led to a game-winning touchdown. Week four, TJ forced Teddy Bridgewater in for a fumble on a safety blitz with 29 seconds left to win 23-20 against the Minnesota Vikings. And then Chris, in week five, he had a 74-yard pick six to give you guys a 16-10 win over the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
Chris, tell me about the vibes going through the team.
We didn't even know that right?
First 5 weeks. Y'all were all balling out. Y'all all making critical plays. Chris, take us through those moments.
Yeah.
Man, we just knew that we could finish the game. So we kind of had a mindset that we knew that for some reason the game always end on us, that we got to make the play to win the game for some reason. It kept falling like that, where we had to finish the game and close the game out. I don't know what was up with Peyton or what was going on, but we just had to finish the games. We just had to close the games out. And it just happened to be like that for pretty much majority of the year, of us having to make a key play or somebody making a big-time play to win a game for us. And just every week, somebody just kept taking a turn. It'd be me this week. Then next week is the key. The next week it was Stu or Bub or Roby. So we just kind of – everybody just kind of kept taking turns and making plays when we need to have them.
Bradley, where was the party at after all these games? After all the early season, where was it lit? Who was what was the locker room?
You know the vibes.
like we said, you know, the nightlife in Denver, man, was kind of trash. So, you know, we kind of all just used to go over Vaughn house, you know, throughout the week, and you know, even after the game. So we watched, I think, Thursday night games or Monday night games.
Casino night.
Yeah, casino night. We'd be gambling and just kind of hanging out, chilling. And then after the games, too, which is always Club 5-8. That was what we did. But, you know.
Club 5-8 like Vegas, bro.
Yeah, really.
Yo. Yeah.
Having that Club 5-8, we might tell you we going. Man, that's all we could tell you, fam. That's it. We can't really put too much out there about Club 5-8. You know what I'm saying? That's just
Can't talk about it. But one thing I will say about that, being the youngest dude, you know, kind of just being new to the league and kind of peeping everything, I felt like that was the key. You know, I feel like that was the key to us being successful on the field, is because I saw that we hung out together so much off the field, you know what I'm saying? And I think that connection is what, you know, had us balling like that. And that's something I even have tried to do in Houston, you know, just trying to have dinners every week, or just having guys over the house, or, you know, little get-togethers and stuff, just to try to do what I can, you know, to try to, you know, mix up that magic again, man. And it's so crazy, Lee, you told me. You said you better, you know, take advantage of this, you know what I'm saying, and appreciate this. You
remember
right now,
that shit at Denver, right? I say this shit ain't regular.
Yeah, it's not regular.
This don't happen every year, bro.
Yeah, I really see it.
TJ, do you remember the presence of the early '90s Broncos coming around the locker room and maybe the beginning of the season, training camp, OTAs? Were they giving you off like a vibe, or motivating you guys to avenge what happened in 2014 and get to the Super Bowl and win?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I grew up, you know, watching those guys in that era, you know, with Elway, Atwater, Rod Smith, and seeing those guys around the building, you know, they got their chip. And that's what, you know, we came to Denver for as free agents, me, Stu, and Lee. But, you know, we came to win a chip. And it's almost like, okay, they around the building, they got that chip. But they no way were they trying to rub it in our faces, but it's like, they got their chip, and we got to get ours. You feel me? We want to be walking around the building one day with that same kind of "we got a chip" attitude. You know what I'm saying? That's an attitude. It's an arrogance.
It's an energy.
It's forward, yeah. It's an energy. It's a vibe. So that's definitely what we wanted. But they always, you know, motivated us. I think they knew outside looking in, you know, what we had, because it's pretty evident. We had squad. You know, every position. You had somebody that, as you just pointed out, could win the game. You know, every game we had to do it, but I didn't know that the first 5 weeks it was us five. That's crazy. Like, I didn't know that, but that's what's up. That just, you know, that roster, that chemistry was crazy for us.
Support for Call to the Booth is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. And big news from Manscaped, they just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over at all times.
Now, who knew smelling good could actually feel this good? Man, and Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. So don't get lost in the shuffle. Don't have bad below-the-waist hygiene. Join the movement, Manscaped.
And that 2 million people that approve it, the men, I'm sure the women approve it as well, too. It comes into a nice, great package. We've talked about on Manscaped before on the show with the Perfect Package 3.0. It comes with the trimmer, comes with the ball wipes. I mean, it has literally everything you need. And then you just throw on some cologne and you really have everything that you need in order to, how would you say this, Akib? Be in playoff mode?
Just to be ready for the game. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what's going to happen in the game, but you want to be ready for that game, right? You know what I'm saying? You don't want the female to not feel your vibe because of your smell. You know what I'm saying? So we could check that box with Manscaped. And I'm not really a cologne type of wearer, right? So I got my pack from Manscaped. You know what I'm saying? I bust it open. I laugh at the ball wipes. All right. listen, you know what I'm saying? I spray the cologne just to check it out. I'm like, oh, it smells cool. About like 45 minutes, you know what I'm saying? Wifey came in and, you know, I'm like, what's up, baby? She's like, what's that? Where you been? And I'm like, what, baby, what? And she like, man, the cologne, I said, what you got on cologne? I said, smell good. She said, yeah, smell good. So look, she think I was going, about to go do something or coming from somewhere. That's the vibe the smell gave her, you know what I'm saying? So y'all better get on board with it, man. It's the truth.
These personal stories are the best. You know what to do. Go to get your 20% off with free shipping with the code NoFlyZone at manscaped.com. One more time again. That's 20% off with free shipping with the code NoFlyZone at manscaped.com. Look good, smell good, feel good with Manscaped. So that pretty much set the tone for the majority of the year. And why that was so important is because I think everybody knows this. Peyton Manning was not the same Peyton Manning that everybody in the league had known. I'll leave this open-ended. Did you guys notice a difference in his performance level from training camp, OTAs? Did you anticipate that he would have a quote-unquote down year? I'll leave it open-ended.
I'll go first. I don't think we've seen it in training camp because I don't think he was that hurt in training camp. You know what I'm saying? So training camp, it was regular. We knew we had a dog-ass defense. So we was talking all kind of noise to Peyton. We were talking all kind of noise to Brock, but that was just us, period. You know what I'm saying? And it was some days Peyton come out there and kill us out and the Broncos and post all their touchdowns on IG. So we like, all right, bet. We gonna holler at y'all boy tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? We gonna see what's up with that shit tomorrow. So we had the type of camp we had, we thought we were gonna go 16-0, 15-1 type shit, of course, because we like our defense this good and Peyton them playing like that, can't nobody beat us. So I feel like it was a shock. I'm gonna let somebody go next, but I feel like it was a shock how Peyton got off, how he started, because he was healthy in training camp and I ain't really see that coming.
Yeah, it was a shock for sure. Because last year before, he just went crazy again.
Went nuts the year before.
So, yeah.
It was like, we coming back, though. The defense tighter. We got Stu. You know what I'm saying? Like, we on fire. Like Lee saying, we finna go undefeated, win the chip. And then the season came, and it was more like, because we still didn't know what was going on. We're like, ah, damn, we're the wrong thing.
Right.
As the season went on, we started figuring out that, you know, he had Knicks and Max in, because they kept that tight. I mean, I didn't know it. Yeah. Y'all knew, but I didn't know he had.
Y'all be surprised how tight they kept it.
They kept tight.
Yeah.
So, rehab. Yeah. They got their own rehab room. He really want you to see the rehab we doing to him.
Hey, no, oh, hell no.
We didn't even see him do rehab, though.
I'm like, telling you, he had his own rehab room, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right,
that's so part of it. I came.
Like, Stu, I know your first year being here, you probably was like, this ain't
going on. The hell going on, but you know, his play he wasn't at the top of his game, but mentally he was still sharp. So situational football, he was able to get us through those situations. When it came to that Super Bowl, shoot, I knew those first 15 were scripted. So if they could get anything done in those first 15, we was good, and they did. So once we got on the field, we were good to go.
Before we get to the Super Bowl, Akib and I, we've always talked about momentum being a huge thing when it comes to getting to the Super Bowl. So I'm going to go to week 10 of that season. It was a loss against the Chiefs. Peyton Manning, 5 of 20, and then he went on to miss week 11 to 16. In that game, he was replaced by Brock Osweiler. And Akib also did not play in week 10.
I was in the grill.
Chris, do you remember why Akeem didn't play in week 10?
Damn, I really can't remember, bro.
Can anybody else outside of Akeem remember why? That was, so week 9.
Don't tell them. Week 9. If you tell them week 9, they going to know. So they just got to.
Okay.
Why wasn't, we was playing the Chiefs week 10. I ain't play. Why wasn't I playing?
It wasn't Tennessee. Was it Tennessee? No, we ain't playing.
It wasn't the chain then.
It wasn't the chain. The chain was the next year.
Yeah, that was the next year. Tennessee stuff was.
Oh, you poked Buddy in the eye from the coach.
Dwayne Allen still owed me $370,000 for that game, bro. He made me miss a whole game check, bro. He owed that. When I see him, I need that.
Hey,
I need
that,
bro. Hey, I forgot about that, too. Okay, I ain't poke blood in his eye. I don't know why. My whole life is, like, built on shit. Like, I don't know why I done that shit. You feel me? Look, I didn't go to poke blood in his eye. I went to go put my hand on his head and a nice little muff. You feel me? Like, shut up. He did like this, look. But he did like this, look. No, made my finger go through his eye. You feel me? So hey, look. He owed the boy owed me $370, and that's that, man. I need that when I see you.
Hey, that boy threw 5 picks that game, so that game was just over with from the beginning.
That was right.
That was the word. I think I got suspended that game.
Yeah, Bub got suspended at the end of that game.
Oh yes,
the Chiefs.
Yes, no, I got ejected. I didn't get suspended. That's because Mac came out.
I'm pulling. Yeah. I'm gonna pull it up right now. Okay.
You got playing all game, bro. I'm like, all right, bro. You keep playing with me. Wes had cut back on for the last touchdown. I'm like, damn. I let him get across my face, but I'm on him though. I'm gonna catch him. Macklin come out of nowhere, cut me off. Right? He cut me off and like tried to crack under my helmet. So I threw him to the ground, boom, and I'm landing.
Dogged him out.
Dogged him out a little bit. Hey, I look up, ref say,
you got to go.
I said, damn.
DeMarcus Ware aggravated a back injury in week 9. That was the week before that loss to the Chiefs. He ended on missing the next 5 games. I know we're going to focus on you guys here for the majority of the show. But if you could talk, and I'll let Darren, if you want to kick this off, if you could talk about the impact that DeMarcus had and Von Miller had to your success or your unit success on the back end?
It was everything, man, for us. Because that's where it starts. It starts up front. And those boys' first step, they different. And, again, they were the leaders up front. And, you know, they took their job serious. And that year right there, they led the pack.
Rest of coverage worked together. That was something that we stood on. Something that, you know, Wade Phillips called plays for, you know, he sent them and he called man coverage for us. And I think that, you know, them being as great as they were, Hall of Fame type guys as they was, and how good we were, I thought that's just what made us unbeatable. You know, the fact that like Aaron Rodgers had 77 yards right. Sunday night or Thursday night, you know what I'm saying? Like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, we was really out here, like, serving dudes. And I really think that it wasn't just Vaughn and D. Ware. It was Shaq Barrett. It was Shane. Right. You know what I'm saying?
And they back up. It was Wolf. The depth.
It was depth everywhere. So
it was David Bruton. You know what I'm saying? It was Bruton. Yeah. So many plays. You know what I'm saying?
Had some games. For sure.
Yeah.
It was everybody. It was B. Marsh and Danny Trey, how they could cover. You know what I'm saying? All linebackers can't cover like that. No. So Wade Phillips would have to adjust how he called a game if Danny Trey can't guard one of the running backs we used to play, we used to have to worry about, you know what I'm saying?
Patriots running backs.
Yeah, them Patriots running backs, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. If Danny Trey can't guard them boys one-on-one, Wade Phillips got to adjust, you know what I'm saying? So I'm telling you, Wade had the perfect guys for every position. If he could say, if I need a middle linebacker right now for my defense, he gonna pick Danny Trey, because Danny Trey gonna smack like he need him to, and he could cover like he need him to. If I needed a free safety for my defense, he gonna pick Stu, because Stu do everything that he need. You know what I'm saying? If I need a dime for my defense, he gonna pick TJ Ward, because he just had the perfect person for what he was trying to get done, man.
Absolutely.
So, and that had a lot to do with the rush too, man. Wade, he based his defense on getting home at 2.7 seconds, because I'm gonna be playing man press. You know what I'm saying? So I need guys who can get home. You have four of them. You know what I'm saying? So that team was just special, bro. It was just special.
That's what made us so special right there, that these three corners, you know. Then we had Kayvon coming off the bench. Like, Kay would come in and strap. But, you know, that Green Bay game, I probably had 12 snaps that game. You feel me? Because we ran a single package where we kept three corners on the field and one safety. And, you know, Roby played majority of the game in my, like, in my position or whatever. But we was running straight man. And that right there changed the game. Rush eight and them boys covered.
To this day, right, I've never seen Aaron Rodgers get done like that. Like, ain't not one time. Come on now.
That
Cap was balling, shut him down. Brady shut him down.
So that was our best game out of whole no flies on. If we had to put on the highlight tape, you know what I'm saying, to show our one game, this is no flies on. What game we putting on?
Ooh.
That's tough.
Young got that photographic memory over there.
I'm going to still say the Super Bowl, bro.
That's really what I was
going to say, too.
Because that, I mean, we still was, that was still a complete game from us. And, you know, we still had turnovers. We still shut down Cam. I don't know how much he threw, but he still had through the turnovers with it. So I think that was a complete game from us.
Hits and everything. Yeah. Then it was the caliber of game it was, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that probably, that's it right there. I can't think of another game. Because everybody beat the song.
Or that
Patriots game when Lee tipped that shit to me at the end. That was
AFC
like
chip.
Cold shit. Yeah, that was
AFC chip.
Everybody had
the game. The game on the line, it come down to the last play, the 2-point conversion, Tom Brady versus us to go to the Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Lee tips it up off Edelman. I catch it, you know what I'm saying? I fumble this shit, don't matter.
Exactly. That was, and it was hella plays. It was hella plays by us, just this group right here, that game too, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, for sure. We definitely going to get to that real quick, since you guys referenced it. That was week 8, the Aaron Rodgers game. Do you guys remember who the leading receiver was for the Packers?
That game? It probably was a running back or something.
Randall Cobb, 6 receptions, 27 yards.
Oh, yeah.
Leading receiver.
Dang.
You guys did a hell of a job then. You guys locked him up.
And they had a baby Devontae. I remember that. Devontae just came on my show,
this past
other
weekend.
Day. Yeah, this past weekend. Yeah. I wanted to bring that up so bad. You remember when we strapped y'all boys? I ain't say nothing about it, though. I wanted to say it bad. Devontae, I know you was a baby. But do you remember when we strapped y'all boys? I had 72 yards.
Welcome to the NFL.
I wanted to say that shit so bad. That's my dog, though.
One guy who also helped you guys win was the guy who helped replace Peyton Manning for those games that he missed. Throughout the course of the season, Akib and I queued up a conversation about said quarterback, and Akib had some issues remembering. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not, but enjoy. In our last show, we had some fun with Akib. We talked about the last 9 quarterbacks for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I saw that, Lee.
Damn, my dog went to Houston. I can't even remember his name. Why I can't remember my dog's name, man? Shit, he gonna be mad at me. It's my dog too.
Hey, I'm over here. Hey, I'm watching the show. I'm sitting up here saying Brock Osweiler, bro. I ain't forget about Brock.
You know we fuck with Brock.
Yeah, exactly. We do.
I could not remember his name.
Bro, sometimes I'll be like that too. But I do feel you on the red bottoms though. I told him, I need a Lambo. But truthfully, if I need a Lambo, y'all need a jet, dog. Because that defense carried us.
I
carried.
Have you guys talked to Brock since then? You gotten your payments yet?
No, Brock didn't say nothing, man.
Okay. Hey,
We need something. We still need something, bro.
That's great. He's still living good off us.
Better than me.
Yeah. My dog, though.
He said, off us.
Off us, boy. Hey, he went out there through for like $1.35. 37 handoffs.
Got 70 million.
Right, and just sit back and let us do what we do, man. Don't throw no picks.
Just keep us in midfield.
If it was me, though, I would have got boys, no bullshit, I would have got boys a gift that's around like the whole defense. By like $2,500. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just something nice and neat that God gonna appreciate. Like, oh yeah, you feel me? It's 2,500
times
11. Paul.
You got it.
27.5. Like, look, if I can't kick back 27.5 to the dudes who really got me my deal, come on, man. I'm green as hell.
Yeah. So, Chris, take us through the mindset of the secondary room.
Hello, bro.
You go into training camp. You think you have, you know, Peyton Manning at this elite level. It turns out that throughout the course of the season, you really didn't have that game in him. And now you're turning over to Brock Osweiler, and he didn't perform well either. But he obviously well enough because you guys really supported. Give me the mindset of the team. Every Monday, every Wednesday, whatever day you guys break down film, and you're knowing we got to be damn near perfect because our quarterback play is not to where we had hoped it was. I think just two years ago, Peyton Manning had 55 touchdown passes. So it's a significant drop off in quarterback possession. Give me the mindset of the unit.
Yeah. Man, we just knew that it was on us every week. We knew if we was the better defense out there that – we could win the game. And that was just our main goal every week, just be the best defense out there, be the best secondary out there. And if we do that, if we be who we was, we knew we had a chance to win. And quarterback-wise, we knew it was going to be a challenge, you know, with Brock. But we just knew that we just had to hold on enough time in order to get Peyton healthy. And once we played, I think it was the Chargers game, we had been down. We was losing that game.
Right.
And we had to bring Peyton back. But it was just – we just knew that we had to find a way to hold on as long as we could until we get Peyton back and try to get the offense going to finish that last in the playoffs, because we knew we just had to have him in the playoffs, and then we knew we had a chance.
Exactly. And then I don't think it changed that much, though, because our D coordinator, us who we are, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, we always had a special group of guys, but, like, our D coordinator, he do a good job on putting a goal at – us being the best.
You know, we beat Roethlisberger, and then we beat Brady, and then we beat Cam, the MVP. I mean, and I say we beat them. Their defense beat, had a big part, obviously, in winning those games.
You know what I'm saying? He going to show you the stats. He going to show you the numbers. He going to let you know what we doing right now as a defense. This is where we at, you know what I'm saying, at all times, whether it's preseason, anything, right? So I think that's one of the things. That's one of Wade's little hidden talents, you know what I'm saying? He make the defense. Any defense who we coach, he make you want to be the best anyway. So we knew we had Peyton. We knew we had DT, this high-power offense. But we kind of had that as a chip on our shoulder, you know what I'm saying? We're going to be the best. And we're going to be better than our defense, better than our offense, too, every day at practice. So I don't think it changed that much, you know what I'm saying? When Peyton go down and that kind of stuff happened, our mentality ain't changed that much because we already had aspirations, goals of being the best. You know what I'm saying? One more dope content? Subscribe and check out the YouTube channel. And while you at it, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Call to the Booth.
Week 14, you guys lose to the Raiders and you lose to the Steelers. You lose to them 34-27. You're 10-4 at this point. You go into the locker room at home against the Bengals. That's week 16 now. And you're down 14-3. No playoff seed locked up yet. Take us into that locker room. Everything changed in that second half. And obviously you guys did not lose from that point on. Do you remember that locker room down 14-3 to the Bengals, who ended up winning the AFC North that year?
What I remember about that is I was like, man, look, I'm telling you, them Patriots struggle in Miami every year, bro. They go to Miami and lose. I just remember that being a vibe. Like, bro, they going to go lose, but we just got to win. Boom, we down 14-0. And somehow we done made that play, came back. But we had the feeling the Patriots was going to go to Miami and do what they do every year. So they always go out there and lose. So we knew it was possible. We knew how important it was.
Really important.
We just tried to do what we had to do.
I tried to go back out to no New England, boy. I'll tell you that.
We was really at a point. We was at the point to where if we didn't win that game, we weren't going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
We had to win the game versus Cincinnati, or we weren't going to be a seed to make it. So it was like a number one seed, or you're not
going to make it. Yeah, it was tight like that.
Yeah.
So now you guys make it to the playoffs. You're the number one seed, and now you're going to the playoffs. You're playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers at first. Obviously, you have home field advantage. Aqib had a pass breakup at the goal line the first quarter against, do you remember who, Aqib?
Martavis Bryant.
Bryant.
Marcus Wheaton.
Marcus Wheaton. Oh, that was a seven route then. Okay, that was a seven route.
Yep. And then there was a play. You guys probably remember this. There was a fumble recovery in the third quarter by Mr. Bradley Roby.
Oh, yeah.
Roll punched it out. Yeah.
Yep. He has a forced fumble, against Fitzgerald Toussaint.
Yeah, that was in the fourth quarter.
That was a big
one. It was marching. I was like, God.
Me neither, Young. I still don't know Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick Croissant. I don't remember that guy.
Throughout the course of the year, we also spoke to Ryan Shazier, who obviously remembers that game as well. Paul, if you could help me cue up. He wasn't happy about one of the plays that took place.
I know it was Peyton last year. I feel like I ain't gonna say the league has something to do with it, but hey man,
you can't feel like. Let me tell you why you can't feel like that though, Ryan. Look, you can't feel like that because Peyton ain't win the chip. We won the chip. Look, he's weaving.
All right. They don't want to watch the whole thing. Look at that.
No, that's a good clip. That's a good clip right there. Look, he weaving, bro.
He thought he was down. Oh my gosh, bro. Come on, bro.
That's the fastest Peyton could get up right there.
Bro, that play changed the whole momentum of the game.
Still got to tag him off, though. Even if he goes down like that.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? That's what I would tell him. And then you know what else I told him? Yeah. Say, bro, the play happened in the middle of the second quarter, bro. Like, come on, bro. It ain't affect too much. It was the middle of the second quarter or some shit like that.
So you guys win that game. And all of a sudden, now it's Tom Brady and the Patriots. Let's go with Darian. Do you remember the lead up to the game, the anticipation? Obviously, this is big. It's a big time game, and you got Manning versus Brady. That's going to be a big part of the lead up. What was the mindset of the unit going into that game, going against one of the greatest of all time?
Man, we just locked in, focused. We was all healthy. It was playoff atmosphere, so it was real intense. But I just remember it being cold, and us just finding ways to make plays. We had a good game plan going into that. So me as a free safety, it's like I knew Tom. I was in Baltimore the year before, and we lost to him in the division. And it was one play where I was like, I know he going over there, but I didn't trust it. And so he ended up throwing it to LaFell the year before and ended up scoring it. So I said after that game that I would trust it. And everything that he was throwing in that AFC chip from slants, everything, I knew it. And I sat on it and was slapping. So
it happened.
I had that number. Wade had some good calls. But, we had corners that would tell you, I got this right here locked down. You can help over there. So right there, that's all I needed to hear. And that, eliminated a lot of stuff that I had to do.
Aqib, I know you and I have talked about this before. The vibes on the field when it came to sportsmanship were a little bit different than maybe the week after in the Super Bowl. If you can recall some of the moments you had before the game.
I remember maybe like 45 or 50 yard line. Boom, I'm coming this way. Tom's coming this way. And it was a kind of like a, I ain't looking at him, but he ain't looking at me. And I was wondering, is he going to like, Key, what's up? Tom ain't say shit. So I ain't say shit. So I'm saying, that's what I knew. Like, oh yeah, it's AFC chip time. It's up. I was really on that already, but you know, he Tom. So if he would have said what's up, I might have said what's up. You feel me? He is Tommy. You feel me? But he ain't say shit. So I knew, oh yeah, that's for sure. That's what I need you to be on, Tommy, so I could be on that same shit. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like this game was the Super Bowl. Like,
it was.
Yeah.
Like, focus and sharpness, and you could feel that shit in the air. Like, shit was thick. Like, we got to come and handle business. Yeah. We already know what's at stake. NFC, we'll worry about them later. But we kind of already felt like the NFC wasn't as good as the AFC anyway. So we was going to handle that. We had to get through this one. We had to get through,
right?
You know, the GOAT. You know,
we had to go through the GOAT.
Then we beat them too that year too?
Yeah, beat them twice.
Yep. So then we beat them twice, man. Come on. Yeah. Beat them twice, bro.
I beat him in week 12 in overtime, 30-24.
Yeah,
and young Gronk
beat him again.
That was still young Gronk. You know what I'm saying?
Young Gronk. And it's prime Gronk.
You know what I'm saying?
That brings me to a question, Chris. Thank you for queuing that up. Yeah. 4th and 10, under 2 minutes left. Gronk gets a 30-yard reception. Who's responsible for that? What's going through the mind at that point? Because
man, like We had to do double team bracketed up.
Josh Bush or KO.
Yeah, see, we was hurting at that time because I think Stu was out, TJ was down.
Bub, you didn't? Did you play that game at all?
Yeah, I played. I remember I got cracked on the same ankle, Edelman. I went out like
early,
end of the third. Nah, it was like right before this shit got cracking. I was
Stu,
like,
Stu, you went down too, huh?
Yeah, I got MCL.
Stu was down.
So both of them dudes went down. So we had two backup safeties in.
And I think one of our backups
went
down.
After. Damn.
Bush and KO. We beat Brady with Bush and KO.
And Bruton.
And Brute.
Super Brute.
No Dime and three of them in there.
Yeah. Super Brute. And I was playing the Dime and Kayvon was playing the Nickel. So we were scrambling.
Scrambling.
We were scrambling in the fourth quarter, bro. So we were just trying to fight through it.
That's how Chris was messed up on Gronk, period.
That's how I started being on Gronk. Because I was starting to play the Dime.
Brute was hurt.
So Chris, take me through.
Brute ain't playing the Super Bowl, remember?
Yeah, that's why you was playing the Dime. Yeah. KO and Bush was playing the two safeties.
He was
playing the Nickel.
A little bit before that.
Yeah, it was.
So, Chris, take me through the mindset.
Yeah.
Big time AFC championship game. Tom Brady's on the comeback path, under 2 minutes left, and you got a Hall of Fame tight end trying to win the game for them.
We were trying to do whatever we could to get a stop and get out that game. Cause really, we thought we wasn't going back in. We had just got a stop, like a minute left, minute 20 in the game, I think. We was like, the game over with. We ain't coming back. And bam, we had to go run right back out
there. Next thing you know, 17 seconds later, we back.
And then on the sidelines, trying to figure out where we gonna line up at. We was all, man, we just, luckily we fought through that game and finished through because without Stu, without TJ, we had a lot of other people was out. We scrambled through to make that game to finish, man. And Key made a crucial play to win that game.
Yeah, and Rome right here.
Gronk
and we were scrambling on this play, too.
We were scrambling on that play, too.
Yeah.
I was trying to switch. I'm like, KO, you guard the receiver. Let me guard Gronk, bro. I got Gronk. You guard him. I got Gronk. I tried to switch last minute. Then, boom, he snapped the ball. And lo and behold, look, Gronk back there wide open, too.
Yeah. We really didn't know what we was really scrambling, bro.
Well, I'm glad he ain't throw it to Gronk.
Man, Gronk was open. I always tell everybody who asks me, though, the AFC Championship game was the funnest football game I ever played, period. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The
level of competition, the guys they had, the guys we had, what was on the line, and then just how the game went. Like I always say, in the Super Bowl, man, we beat the shit out of them boys. That was
– yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like little brother punking. We punking y'all all day. Y'all trying to come back, we gonna punk y'all some more. But the AFC chip, it was really like, it was a nail biter, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You had to be locked in, eyes better be right, everything. Some stuff going good, some stuff going bad. It was back and forth. That was my funnest football game, period.
And it really took our whole secondary to win.
It took everybody on our team to win. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody.
It was running dime against 21-12.
We were hurting, bro.
Hey, but hey, we was working, though.
And working.
By the cover. That was the cold part. I was like, bro, we out here, y'all, and you can't run the ball. We in dime.
Who ended up, I know Akeem Tippett Robe ended up catching it. Either one of y'all got that football?
I still got mine from the pick.
Nah, I don't got
a pick off from that game.
Hey, bro, you supposed to have that, Robe. Robe ain't the most organized, you know what I'm saying?
I don't keep no ball.
He ain't the most organized person in the world, so who knows where that ball. He probably got it. It started in his locker, but... My locker was next to his, Harrison. It's a lot of shit was in that locker.
I was a young boy, man. I done grown up. I got like a little storage unit in Denver. It might be in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's probably still laid up. You know what I'm saying?
Yup.
So you guys going to win this game. Exciting times. You go on to win the Super Bowl. It's kind of like, as you guys said, almost like a formality once you got over with the AFC chip. There were some interesting things about that Super Bowl matchup. I think it might have been the first year, and Paul, you can correct me. I think it might have been the first year where Super Bowl week or the press conferences were kind of set up in this large area where you could kind of hear other people talking during the press conference. And I think there was some commentary.
Okay.
I don't know who this was.
Everybody wanted to be lead.
You guys talked about how you are a band of brothers coming in.
It's got to be real tough for everybody on the roster. Both of my boys, y'all throw the ball. Did you throw the football?
I honestly didn't know that man was over there, though, bro.
Look, he's saying, man, I'm gone. Oh,
my. Chris Howard, too.
Was that not the game plan, though?
Hey, what? I feel like Cam don't rock with me to this day because of Chris.
Hey, I've seen him a couple times in Atlanta. He been cool, though.
He been cool?
Yeah, he cool.
Oh, yeah, see,
I
ain't really seen him, but I feel like last time I seen him, he wasn't really rocking with Lee.
Did Cam know that it was
it
Chris?
It wasn't even me.
Cam...
I don't know, but
really rocking.
It was Chris.
He know it was me.
Even Lee.
He know it was me, bro. He know.
He Cam knew it was Chris.
Deep voice.
Chris talking that shit. Hey. Yeah, we knew he couldn't throw the ball. Yeah, this man.
Yeah, he was
playing.
Hella trash. Yeah. Dumb.
Okay. A couple more.
But the NFC was weak, bro. We thought the NFC, we didn't really have no respect for the NFC.
Nah, we thought they was weak, period, though. We ain't think nobody over there really could rock with us. Especially we done did Green Bay like that. You know what I'm saying? We were like, oh yeah. Man, we pretty much, you had 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, so. They had a super simple offense, right? So, man, we probably can count how many plays they really ran over and over and over again. Boys had like 14 plays, you know what I'm saying? So, we did all the work. We put in all the work the week before we went. And I think that was us just being super mature, you know what I'm saying? We locked in and we knew the game plan. By the time we got on the plane to go to San Fran, we already knew the game plan. So, then it was just about, you know, mastering this game plan, being sharp, being healthy, staying healthy throughout the week. And, you know, Kubiak let us do what we do in Cali, baby. So, you know what I'm saying? He ain't get up tight or nothing, you know what I'm saying? He let us vibe out, you feel me? And we was ready to go, bro. I ain't never feel like we was more ready to go than how we was in the chip.
So y'all got to live, because we hear in the media, they always talk about, oh, well, this team lost because they were out partying before the Super Bowl, week of the Super Bowl. Did you guys enjoy leading up to the Super Bowl, like in terms of like being outside and enjoying life a little bit, or was it straight locked in? I mean, you won the chip, so it's all good, whatever you did.
We treated it as a normal game week. You know, we did what we did Monday, Tuesday, whenever we got down there, and then on Wednesday, we locked in.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, it was coming back home, so as soon as we touched down, you know, we had fun.
Bub had it popping for us.
Yeah. Yeah, it was jumping.
It's like, you got to do it responsibly. We prepare, we put in the work, and we said we're not going to do nothing else, like Stu said, that we had it done all the season. So, like, we ain't going to get uptight just before the chip, because we wasn't uptight any other week. So that'll just ruin it, and we lose. And be like, why we do that? Because we didn't stick to our game plan.
But
and we was all together too. Like it wasn't like everybody was. Yeah. We had people in the club in San Francisco, people at another bar or whatever. Nah. Everybody was pretty much together.
Yeah. Right.
So it was like we was all kicking it together. So
making sure everybody's straight.
Yeah, everybody was straight. We know everybody was together. And Coach, like Lee said, Coach Kubiak was real relaxed, you know. We had a real relaxed vibe. It wasn't no pressure like that from the coach. It wasn't no strictness. He just like, do y'all thing.
One person each, make sure, I want to make sure each of you guys get a thought of the person, the moment, the first thought that came to your mind once the confetti came down and you're a Super Bowl champion. We'll start with Chris. Let's go Chris and let's go Darian, TJ, and then end off with Akeem. Just the first thing that came to your mind.
That they're going to have to say we got to be one of the greatest defenses ever to do it. The route that it took for us to get there. And I think we faced the number one, two, and three offenses on the way there. So we faced the best to get there. So I just thought they're going to have to say now that we won the best defenses ever.
Bro.
So, to me, you know, being just my second year in the league, you know, I wasn't thinking. I was just like, hell yeah, we won.
This is regular, right?
You know
just like old state.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm used to one. So, like, you know, it was, but it still was dope. You know, just everyone's dream. So, you know, that plays this game. So that was just like, wow, we did it. You know, that's the first thing I thought of.
Darian?
For me, it was just still a surreal feeling, you know, once the confetti started falling. You know, that was my second time making it to the playoffs. I was, 6 years in? And my last time, too. So, yeah, it was good. And, you know, it showed that it don't last long, you know. So, yeah, I was thankful for that moment. It was a real moment, though.
Yeah, the first thing I was in, like, I'm like, yo, we really just won this thing. And after that, I was just, I'm about to be on tour. Nobody. I'm about to be everywhere.
Worldwide.
Gotta go. Straight up. I ain't gonna lie to you. The first thing I thought when the game was over and that confetti was dropping, I thought, I gotta get this fucking Microsoft tablet and write Super Bowl champs on it so I get this 30 bands. I had a little, if you get it on the after the game, if you get it on here, if you get it on here, it was up to 30 bands if I got it like right after the game. So I'm hurry up and got my tablet. That's the first thing on my mind. I need this 30 bands because shit, I done spent 100. You know what I'm saying? So that was really the first thing on my mind. We win, boom, I got to get this Microsoft money. But then after that, confetti was there. My next thought was, oh shit, my family. I had to go get them in and I just wanted them to be a part of it too, man. You know what I'm saying? So I ran to that gate. I got the video on my phone to this day. Security was hassling him. Had to check him. You know how Leave do. Stop playing with me, fam. I moved the security by his neck. Watch out. And the fam in.
By
you know what
his
saying?
Neck.
By his neck. Like, get your ass out of here, boy. My fam came in, man. And I just wanted to enjoy that with them. You know what I'm saying? I wanted Big Bro to be on that field, feel this confetti on this, you know what I'm saying, on them red bottoms. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted my mom, my kids. I wanted everybody to be a part of that. You know what I'm saying? So That's the two things that I remember right into the game. Them the two things that I was on immediately after.
When you guys think about it now, that was what you thought about at that moment. And I'll let anybody jump in. What do you, when you flash back to that, how often do you guys flash back to that day?
I think about it a lot, to be honest, you know, just like that shit for me was like a dream, you know, running out there, the perfect day, seeing celebrities at the warm-up. Like, I still be thinking about that just because, like, especially while I'm losing right now. You know, when you lose, you want
to... You still playing and losing, bro. That's the only thing you think of, like, man, we got to get back to that for sure.
Got to get right. back to that.
There you go.
But I think about it all the time, too. Go ahead, Chris.
I said, shit, man, Rome, I don't think... Rome got one playoff appearance, you know. I ain't made it to the playoffs since then, so shit, I'm just trying to get back, you know what I'm saying?
Rome
got one, at least one appearance.
Right. I think about it all the time. I got a little in my upstairs. I got a little Stu TJ jersey, then Chris Roby's, and then mine like in the middle with our little picture right there. So I, every time I look at it, then I got our poster. Remember our magazine cover we shot, right? Yeah. Y'all remember the magazine cover?
Oh yeah,
right?
You gotta have that.
You gotta remember the magazine cover.
Yeah.
But I got that blew up hella big. I got that up there too though. So I see that shit every day. You know what I'm saying? That's one of my main spots where I stand. I stand right here before I go watch TV. You feel me? I stand right here for like 3-4 minutes. And then I go sit down and watch TV. But when I'm just standing right here, I always see that. You know what I'm saying? It's right there. You know what I'm saying? So I think about it every day, for real.
Yeah. Quick question before we let you go. The group can answer. Who was the most lit during the celebrations?
What celebrations are we talking about? Oh, just period?
Super Bowl celebrations.
Oh,
and it has to be in the secondary.
Bub for sure. Bub for sure.
Yeah, I know,
TJ. He celebrate, man.
You copping the plea, TJ?
Huh? You know who was the most lit? Groove. You know, when I pulled up to Arizona, he was up there. He over there, he snapping. So I was there. I was like, bro, what's good? He's like, oh, man. He was telling me, I came back. I said, all because of the phone.
Bro, hey, bro got fired off the chip, bro. Hey.
Oh man,
Rue was he don't even remember from the locker room to about 3-4 days later, bro.
He said he got fired off the chip.
He got fired off. He won the chip, yeah, got real. Fired, bro. Hey, man,
he really did, though.
No, never happened.
Best, he really did, though.
Best dress
for the chip.
For best, who was the best dress player in general that year?
Overall, that whole year. Oh yeah, Lee
can't claim that.
Yeah, I think
Lee for sure. You know what I'm saying? Hey Harrison, that's the part people don't understand, bro. Hey. Before we get on that plane, I don't give a how clean you was. Look, it was you walk in this locker room, you had to walk in the locker room, and then the other DBs like, you gotta walk through this shit. Look, it's over. We got something for everybody. We got something for everybody for sure.
Remember, E used to come to work dressed up and shit with his head down.
Hey, Emmanuel Sanders used to dread that walk past that no fly zone real quick. You gotta walk through this shit. Somebody gonna get him every day. Every day.
Have briefcases and shit.
Mercies and shit.
Best play of the year.
What is that?
Best play of the year? And it's out of us too, right?
Yeah.
Oh man, we got too many, man.
We got hella plays.
That's tough. But if we had to say one, I would put the AFC one just because of the moment. And it was more than just one person made the play. You know what I'm saying?
2-point conversion one? Yeah, I even say the one before that when y'all switched that man on that third down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a hitting play.
That's a bad play right there.
That's a hitting play that could have got ugly. If me, and Chris
was,
if me and Chris ain't do what we did, look at each other, dudes, boom, boom, it would have got ugly, bro.
Yeah,
so,
man.
Real quick.
It was up there, too. But we could do that all day, though, Harrison. Right. It's so many plays. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, too many plays.
So many plays.
And the moment you play it smart here, don't go too crazy. The moment you knew you felt like, the moment you felt like rock stars.
Hmm. After the Super Bowl, or actually not before.
I mean, I'm trying to. I need somebody to give me the setting. Was it like you hit the club, or you went to Vegas? I don't know where. But the moment you're like, yo,
nice.
Damn, like we live in this now.
It got to be the Super Bowl, and I guess when we had Ross, I wouldn't say Flo Rida because not everybody was up there on stage with Flo Rida. So I say Rick Ross.
Lee, yeah, what was your wedding? What was your wedding after the Super Bowl? It was right
March.
After?
Yeah, it was March.
I feel like when you had your wedding and we had the rings and we was playing that, I'm a really big ring. I got a really big team. All that shit.
And we had other players there from other teams. They just had to watch us and shit.
Right. That's why I was like, yo, we on some different shit.
But I say real shit. I say I felt like I'm on some other shit. When me, TJ, and Chris, we walked out the locker room And we was like, hold on,
yeah,
no
I forgot
fly.
That shit.
No fly coming through. Hold on. You know what I'm saying? Your boy can't fly here. And it was all the media. Like, everybody grabbed their cameras and we was just walking. Yeah. It was like, it was after the game, outside, leaving out the locker room, the whole walk to the bus. Man, we had a little entourage following us, cameras and shit. No time rules us. Hey, no fly. Hold on, bud. Hold on, bud. Wait for you. No fly. No fly. No fly. No fly zone. No fly zone. 10 points is the maximum.
10.
10 points is your maximum.
The no fly is out.
That's when I was like, oh, we done won this chip, bro. It's up right now.
I forgot that part.
That was live. I got that video too. That's a live video right there, bro.
Hey, wait, one second. One second.
I was gone
second.
Already.
Yeah, y'all was gone. We were the last ones out the locker room, bro.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, if I
don't
if I
fly
this,
here.
Can't if fly. I caught, drive.
If I caught this correctly, you won the Super Bowl. Akib has his wedding that March. Yeah. What NFL players are there that weren't on the team that had to watch y'all celebrate?
A lot of Patriots. All the guys I played with, a lot of Patriots. Like Wilfolk, McCourty's, shit, I can't remember. A couple of old ex-Bucks, Buccaneers.
LG.
Yeah, Geese. My dog Blunt was there. You know, just the people who are my friends around the league.
Sounds like a good time. And then
a lot
finally,
of Patriots, though. A lot of Patriots.
And then finally, you guys are one of the best secondaries of all time. Especially for that generation. But there's another secondary that got a lot of publicity during that same time frame. There are some people, and we'll leave the show with this, some people who believe that maybe the Legion of Boom was a better secondary.
Hell no.
was
I'll let y'all go.
They were solid, though. You know what I'm saying? They wasn't bad. They won the chip.
We was playing, man. I
they
ain't
had
trying
standard.
To hear it.
But yeah, I just think...
It was good.
We're gonna take
it was a little bit longer, so you know they got to carry the prestige longer than we got to carry. You know, we was 2 years. We did what we had to do. We was out the door. So it's like
it was only three. Shit.
Huh?
Yeah, they was only three. They was only 3 years. We was 2 years. They was only 3 years. They weren't like they was 5 years running or no shit. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah.
At our peak greatness, you know, they couldn't touch us individually. Like, ask them to do what we had to do, they couldn't do it. But
no.
We gonna do what they was doing, we fit in perfect.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
That's
the reason why I was blaming. Yeah, I say the same, though. I say the same, though, man. It's the way we did it. We both did it. We both probably was the number one D. We both probably was the number one pass D. Both probably had a lot of touchdowns. I don't know their numbers. You know what I'm saying? We both won a chip.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like it was the way we did it. Like my dog Rose said, bro, we out here strapping. We playing, man. We on the line with it across the board. You see Chris on the line in the slot, Robe on that side, Lieb on his left. We cross the board. We know what time it is with us. You know what I'm saying? And then we were smart too. We'd mix it up on you. We'd make you think you're getting that. We'd be two men. We'd get a pick, go to the crib. So
I just
think the way we did it was just, you know, a little bit sexier than the way they did it.
Fair enough. I think we're pretty much done here. I give you guys, and Akib, obviously you could wrap it up, sure. But I give you guys the floor. Maybe Brad, TJ, Darian, then we go to Chris. If you guys have any last words or any, because obviously a bunch of Denver Broncos fans are going to watch this. A bunch of fans of you guys just personally going to watch this. Any messages you want to send or anything like that, any parting words, you got the floor, and then Akib, just wrap it up.
Bet.
I would say just, you know, like kind of what we've been saying is just, you know, I was just so thankful, you know, to get picked by the Broncos and all y'all boys to pull up. And I'm just so thankful and grateful I was able to play with y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like y'all, all of y'all in your own right had great careers, you know what I'm saying? And y'all are great men first off and then football players too. So it's such a blessing for me to get put in a situation to be with y'all. You know, my whole time, I just wanted to be a part of y'all. You know what I'm saying? I just want to do what I hold my own so I didn't make y'all look bad. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that was
that was my whole thing. And, you know, I was just, it was so fun. And I miss playing with y'all boys. I miss talking shit, you know what I'm saying? All that stuff, man, because just like Leave said, man, it does not stay long in the league. It's crazy. And, you know, you never really had those relationships like that. You know, it's rare. So I miss y'all boys and I love y'all.
Hey, y'all. Yes, sir.
Man.
Yes, sir. Especially, TJ, hey, TJ. Are we going in order?
Yeah, we just go around.
You just go around whenever whoever goes up close.
Yeah, bro, man. Just building that camaraderie, playing with y'all boys. And, you know, how the league go, man, every year is different. You know, it's a fight every year. And to play with other guys around on your team that hold football to the highest level, like y'all, you don't see that too many times, you know what I mean? You don't get that many teammates that care about the game like y'all boys did, you know what I mean? And I ain't never had a teammate that care about the game more than, like, Leave, you know what I mean? All day in it, trying to be in the game, you know what I mean? And you don't get that from a lot of your teammates, bro. And that's one thing I always appreciate of playing with y'all boys is the love for the game. And y'all always hate to lose, you know? It's hard to be around people that hate to lose as much as you, but I can say that playing with y'all boys. Y'all boys all hated to lose, whether if we playing pool, Blu-ray,
straight up,
anything. Y'all, everybody hated to lose, you know? So that's one thing I appreciate playing with y'all boys.
Yeah, it's a blessing to be a part of this group, man. Y'all honestly some of my best friends, and the things we did on that football field, you know, it can't be duplicated. This type of group don't come together all the time, and the competitiveness is where it started, like Chris said. Like, we all individually competitive, so we might come in the meeting Monday morning trying to see who got the leg up, who know more about the team than the other person.
Right.
And that's just something that made us all better, is because we going to suggest things that we should do, you know, even before Wade gave it to us. Hey, coach, lead, come. Hey, coach, we should run this. Chris, hey, let's run this, coach, in the red zone. You feel me? And they'd apply it. So it was a blessing to even have coaches that take that suggestion from their players and implement it, because a lot of coaches don't do that at all. They just be stuck. But, you know, it's more than a group of guys that we play together. It's family. You know, this relationship is going to go from here on out. And like I said, love y'all, man. It was an honor and a privilege. And we got that thing done. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We tied together for life, man, for sure. I love all y'all boys, man. You already know. Yeah. I'm happy I made the right decision in signing with Denver, man. Because, you know, I don't think we would have been able to get it done. Love y'all boys, man, and I'm happy I made that decision 5 years ago for sure, man.
Yes, sir.
First, I love y'all boys. Y'all already know we got each and every one of us got our own special relationship, you feel me? But at the end of the day, we all brother, we fight, we argue, we did all that. We done all been there, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, shit, we no fly. We stand on that. That shit ain't never going nowhere. Never. You know what I'm saying? I love y'all boys. I appreciate y'all boys coming on. The shit that we did, like Young said, the shit that we did on the field can't be duplicated. Shit, the shit, the fun that we had off the field as a unit.
Yeah.
Where everybody was there. All five of these guys is there doing something off the field. Man, that shit is unmatched, bro. And for y'all boys who still playing, Young, you know, Rose, you know, that's what it takes. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck how many talented dudes you got in that secondary. If they don't vibe together, if he don't really want to say what he want to say to him, he biting his tongue, they just not never going to be that good. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Be the best, baby. We ain't going nowhere. We in the history books, man. When we go, we going to have that same vibe that Shannon Sharp and them had, or that Shannon them had when they pulled up on us. When we go back to Denver, however many years, we going to have that same vibe, man. And you know that the fun, the laugh, the camaraderie shit, it's going to start with us, bro, like it always did. You know what I'm saying? So, appreciate y'all boys, man. I love y'all boys. I'm going to see y'all boys as soon as this Rona shit over. We got the link up somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Y'all already know. Holla at y'all boys, man. Call to the booth. No fly zone.
That was our reunion show, man. No fly zone. I love them dudes, man. But y'all come back on Wednesday with some special guests. I'm talking the big game, Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes, Super Bowl time, baby. Call to the booth.